May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dag Hammarskjöld, a Swedish diplomat, the second Secretary General of the United Nations, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, was a Christian. And one of his prayers is famous. It's often used at New Year, but it's appropriate at every time of the year. For all that has been, thanks. For all that is to come, yes. Let's start with that second phrase. For all that is to come, yes. Jeremiah is facing a nation, this great prophet, who is saying repeatedly, no to God. No to the first commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Instead, they're worshipping false idols. No to God's call to justice. The immigrant, the refugee, the widow, and the orphan are being neglected and exploited. They're saying no to God's call, God's vocation to Israel to be a light to the nations. They're riven by tribalism and the pursuit of self-interest. Repeatedly, they are saying no to God. But God is proving very patient indeed. And he speaks to Noah by taking him down to where the potter is making his pots. And he gives him this analogy of hope. God can remold and reshape Israel. There is still hope. But it depends on whether the clay is pliable or not. Are they going to listen to God and turn from their evil ways? There is still hope. There is still time. But time is running out. And in 587 BC, the Babylonian armies invade, Jerusalem is ransacked, and the temple razed to the ground. They had said no to God repeatedly, and God's patience had run out. Here in this passage, we are reminded that God is sovereign. God is over all the nations. Here we are in a national crisis ourselves, riven by tribalism, unprepared to listen to each other anymore. And we need a way out. We need a vision that's going to unite us, that's going to be about prosperity, seeking the common good, seeking the national interest in a much wider context. But also in a global crisis. Nations vying for supremacy, competing with each other, using their economic clout or military strength. This battle between the nations is to our mutual cost. The only hope for the world is mutual collaboration for a common good, a wider vision of justice and peace for all people. That's the vision behind what Jeremiah is saying to these nations, Israel itself and the surrounding nations. God has a plan and purpose for the whole of creation. He longs for the world to say yes to him and his loving purposes. In our patronal festival today, we're celebrating Mary, who said a resounding yes to God when God said, "Will you carry my child Jesus? Will you bear my son?" She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." This was very costly for Mary, the stigma of being an unmarried mother. She became an object of ridicule. When she carried the baby down to the temple in Jerusalem, she met Simeon, a holy, righteous man who took Jesus in his arms and said, "This child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. He'll be opposed. Reveal the inner thoughts of those who oppose him, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And here we have before us in church a picture of Mary at the cross, gazing at a crucified son. For Mary, saying yes to God was costly. We can be in no doubt listening to our reading from Luke that Jesus is very clear about this. To follow me, to follow Jesus, means we might have to give up everything. Even fall out with our family and friends. Give up our possessions. It must be wholehearted commitment. Remember, Jesus at this point in the gospel has set his face towards Jerusalem as steely as flint, hard heading onwards towards the cross. And he calls his followers to follow him, to take up your cross daily and to follow where he leads. He uses these two analogies of somebody preparing to build a tower, somebody preparing for war. Don't begin either of those endeavors until you've weighed up the cost, he tells his disciples. It reminds me of Ernest Shackleton trying to recruit people for one of his expeditions to the Antarctic. He put this might be apocryphal, in fact. I've done my research. It might not be an actual advert that appeared, but the story's told of him that he was recruiting people for his expeditions in the Antarctic and put an advert in the paper saying, people wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, danger and hazards guaranteed, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. How many people do you think responded to that advert? Surprisingly many. It's similar here with Jesus. If you want to come and follow me, it could cost you everything. Being a disciple of Jesus is about dying and rising, death and resurrection, grit and glory, guts and grace. Jesus summons us to say yes to God, to weigh up the cost and to say a resounding yes with Mary. Today, too, we mark the Society of Friends. We think about this building, our rich heritage as a church. And that brings me to the first part of that prayer. For all that has been, thanks. We think about all the choristers, all those who have been involved in the maintenance and development of the church over the years. All those who've worshipped here, all those who've come to visit, all those who've had the children baptized at the font, all those who've come to here to mourn at funerals, all those who've got married by the chancel steps. We think about that rich heritage, that rich history, and we give thanks for it. And we recognize our responsibility to care for this building in this our generation, and to get it ready for future generations. That in the years to come, other people may come and sit where you're sitting and pray and worship where prayer has been valid for generations. That's a huge responsibility for us, but an immense privilege too. And I want to thank the friends and everybody who participates in our life together. We've got much to give thanks for. Much to celebrate, much to praise God for. We look to the past and give thanks. For all that is to come, we say yes. But all we ever have is the eternal now. R.S. Thomas, the famous poet and prophet, the Welsh priest, said, "Don't hurry after a receding future. Don't hanker after an imagined past. Live now in the present." And here we are gathered on a Sunday morning in this beautiful church, and we're going to meet with the risen Christ in bread and wine. We're going to ascend into heaven and sing the song of the saints and the angels and the archangels, "Holy, holy, holy." And we're going to be sent out here, imbued by the Spirit, having glimpsed the glory of God, to serve God in the here and now. Let us go from here, full of gratitude for all that God has done and given, ready for the future, ready to say a resounding yes, and ready to go from here to live in the eternal now, wholeheartedly for God and Christ and his kingdom. Amen.